Saints.
Happy New Year. It's interesting and good, I think, for New Year to fall on a Lord's Day. It's hopefully give us an opportunity to stop and to reflect, to think about some things with this new year, this new day, this new week that God has given to us. You know, it's certainly very intentional by the Lord that our supper with Him is on the first day of the week. Helps us to helps to communicate something to us. The Lord also, you know, goes to great lengths to communicate to us the importance of the present, and that He takes away all of our sins and our immersion, and then also forgives any future transgressions to help us to know that we have today, we have right now, we have this moment. And so I do want to talk a little bit about New Year's today, and want to talk a little bit about intentionality. I want to talk a little bit about goal setting, if you will. We're going to get back to talking about interpretation. Specifically, the point that we're on is we're going to be looking at interpreting the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament and the importance of that. But I wanted to take a little bit of time today to hopefully help us to reflect, to be intentional about the year going forward if the Lord tarries. One of the things that's you may or may not have heard with it being on a Lord's Day, this New Year's, the next New Year's cycle that is, or the next time New Year's Day is going to be also on a Lord's Day is 2034. The way the leap year works and that sort of thing, there's 11 years between now and the next Lord's Day, next Christmas too, that's on a Lord's Day. Kind of an interesting thing. Jerry, how old are you going to be in 11 years? 30. Okay. Jerry's going to be 30. Think about it. 11 years from now. Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking to Ember about joking about who's driving the car. Well, 11 years from now, she can be driving the car. That's a little bit of a scary thought. But she's driving the car 11 years from now, right? So, you know, I'm not asking you to consider the next 11 years, though some of you who are more established in life, I think it is important to think about some of those things at the proper time. We certainly, the days are short and things change, so I think that it makes it much more difficult to long-term plan in some ways. But I would like you to consider the next 365 days in particular. We've been blessed with a new year, and I want us to thoughtfully make the most out of it. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be working out of today. Ephesians 5. We're going to be taking a look at verses 15 through 17, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity to assemble together with your saints on the first day of the week. Father, I'm thankful for the opportunity to participate in the heavenly table with you, Lord God, and to participate in that heavenly meal. Father, I just pray that you would be with us as we consider this next year, as we are intentional about moving forward in you as we live and as we walk by faith. I pray that you would help us to ask and to think, Lord God. Father, I'm just thankful that we're working together with you to accomplish your will and your purpose for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, be careful how you walk. This is clearly in there because there's a deceiver who wants us to throw caution to the wind, who doesn't want us to be careful. And that deception is real. It's interesting, a lot of times as you see the progression of when people fall away, most people don't fall away overnight. Now, sometimes one of the things that you'll find is they'll find an issue, right? And that'll be the breaking point. But a lot of times it's a slow drift. We looked at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 earlier in Sunday school. And it's like, be careful to pay much closer attention to what you've heard. And I'm paraphrasing here, but be careful to pay much closer attention to what you've heard, lest you drift away from it. Right? And so there, be careful how you walk. Be paying attention. Now, I'm going to be talking about certainly some of our personal behaviors and intention and character today, but I hope to elevate that conversation as well, because ultimately the things that we do are just a reflection of how we think. The things that we do are simply a reflection of what we really believe. So I don't want this to just be a, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear, because the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful little. I want it to be bigger than that. I want it to be greater than that. But this admonition is there, be careful how you walk. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have this experience, but in our bedroom, we have these like blackout curtains, and we keep it really, really dark in there. Okay, it's the way that I like to sleep. I want it to be dark. If Brenna would let me paint the walls black, I think I probably would. At least like a dark purple. Like that's like how I like the room to be. I like it dark. In my spaces and my areas as well. Like the darker the better, right? She calls me her spider sometimes. Okay, so it's really dark in our room. And most times, you know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and most times I'll grab my phone, right? I'll grab my phone and I'll head to the bathroom or head wherever I need to head, and I'll grab my phone, and you know, I use the little illumination, usually get the light on there and get. But for whatever reason, and I don't have any idea why, but about one time out of 10, I'll decide I don't need the phone tonight. And I have no idea why I do this, but I will periodically just decide that I don't need the phone. And so then I'll get out of bed and I'll start doing this number, right? Right? And I'm really careful, right? And I'm like looking for the walls, because inevitably my depth perception just, I don't know, it's gone, right? And I don't have my contacts in, and so I'm just doing the whole thing, and I'm very careful how I walk, right? And typically, you know, because I do not, in the middle of the night and you stub your toe, right? How annoying is that? So anger-inducing, right? And so it's like not what I want to do. So I'm very careful. And then I ask myself, like, why didn't I just pick up my cell phone? My cell phone was right there. Why didn't I pick it up, right? But we have a tendency to get used to certain things. I have no idea if this statistic is true or not, but it might be an old wives' tale. But do you guys remember the off-sided statistic that like some inordinate percentage of accidents happen within 5 miles of your house? Yeah. I have a tendency to believe that. Because why? Well, you let your guard down. Who's paying attention? Right? Like the places that you travel every single day, How many times do you get there? Like, I have no idea how I got here. Like, I'm sure it was safe. I'm sure it was fine, right? Because if something out of the ordinary would happen, that would get my attention. But I have no idea how I got here. I got here. I'm safe. I'm sure it's all good, right? Because what? Your mind just went on autopilot, right? And I think the scripture is trying to tell us here, don't go on autopilot. Because the entire context is redeeming the time because the days are evil, making the most out of what you have. So be careful how you walk. Do it with intentionality. Okay, consider. The scripture tells us in another passage that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we are able to ask or think. And one of the things that scripture tells me is that he expects us to be asking and thinking. He wants us to think along with him. He wants to use our part of it. We see the way that God works. God doesn't do things against our will, and he does things with our participation. And so in the same way, God is going to participate with the decisions that we make. Are we going to walk carefully? He's going to work with that decision. Are we going to run to the bathroom in the dark, right? You'll probably get a stubbed toe, right? So be careful how you walk. Walk wisely. Now, I want to take this in two different directions. The first direction is certainly the decisions that we make. God wants us to be wise in those decisions. God is not going to override your bad decisions. Now, certainly, if we're living and we're walking by faith, the Lord is able to turn lemons into lemonade, right? The Lord can do that, and we've seen him and experienced him do those things with us before. But ultimately, the Lord expects us to work together with him. And that's going to take some wisdom on our behalf to think about what is it that I can be doing on my part to work together with him best, right? I'm sure there's better examples than this, but like you can't expect if I hate this example actually, but I'm not thinking of a better one. A coach can't blame his team. A football coach can't blame his team for not winning the game if every single time they get inside the 40, he decides to kick a field goal on first down. Right? It's like, well, we didn't win the game. It might have something to do with the fact that you never gave your team a chance to score any touchdowns. That might have something to do with why you didn't win the game. Well, again, the Lord is willing to have us learn some of those lessons along the way so that we learn what's going to be the most effective. Does that make sense? Like, he's not doing it to despite us or like, you stupid person, if you just knew better. That he's like trying to help us to learn the lesson. It's actually one of the things, too, that I actually appreciate about the way that God has things set up. Have you ever noticed in your personal life that sin is actually a great indication of problems that need to be fixed? A lot of times we think the problem is sin. And actually sin is just an indication of what actually needs fixed. And I'm really appreciative that the Lord has it set up that way, because that's a big warning signal. It's like a warning light on your dash, which I'm really thankful that my cars have those, right? It's like a warning light on your dash to say, hey, there's something that needs to be attended to here. And that's really what happens when sin crops up. It lets us know that there's something that's been ignored that needs to be attended to. Well, if there wasn't those outgrowths, we talked a little bit earlier about self-deception, right? It'd be easy to just be like, hey, everything's great. Everything's just fine. But the Lord has it set up so that, hey, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on here. And so walk wisely. But here's where I want to maybe elevate the conversation a little bit too. Walk wisely in relation to how we're interacting with other people. See, This is talking about making the most of the time because the days are evil, and understanding what the will of the Lord is. Is it the will of the Lord that everyone should repent and that no one should perish? That's his will, right? And so we're working together with him on this great commission. And so we're to walk wisely. Now, walking wisely has a lot to do with how am I going to conduct myself with wisdom towards outsiders? What does that look like? And God has certainly blessed us with different talents, different abilities, different ways of relating. Okay, we're going to relate differently just because that's how God has made us to be. And there's also a sense in which the people in your life, okay, are in your life for a reason. And I think that that's worth considering is I may be the bridge, I may be the lifeline that this person has to Jesus. Okay, there's a reason why I'm connected to this person. So how can we walk wisely towards outsiders to make the most of the time because the days are evil? I'd like you to think about some things in that realm as we look at 2023, because how can we, let me put it this way, walking wisely doesn't just happen. It takes consideration. It takes intentionality. You don't just fall into greatness. It doesn't happen that way. If you're going to be good at anything, you have to set out to actually be good at that thing. And so in the same way, if we want to walk wisely, we're going to have to make choices to actually walk wisely. Now, there's all sorts of ways in which will people use you? Absolutely, people will use you. Let me give you an example here in a minute. But our goal really is to continue to walk wisely, and we will end up being benefited along the way with that. Give you an example. I was in college, had a group project, and I hated group projects in college because there were like two or three people who really care about the grade, and then there's like two or three people who like don't care at all. Right? And so then you have the couple of people who are carrying everybody else. And like, you got to do that because if you care about the grade, okay, the work has got to get done. Well, we had one of these group projects, and there was another girl who had targeted me, and I didn't even realize that she had done so. But we had been in another class together, and she knew that I actually did my work, right? So she said, I made sure, I didn't find this out till later. She said, I made sure that I got in your group. Right? Because I did not want to be with any of those slackers. Well, we still had slackers in our group. It just wasn't me and her. And so we had this group project, and we were in college, and we had this, so we're getting together, right? Because we're going to work on our presentation, you know, do the whole whatever. And of course, there's a couple of students who don't show up, right? I'm like, of course. And so we're waiting on him, and there's this other guy in our group. I don't know. He was probably a decade or so older than me, but he would not shut up about religion. And like, I'm just there to take a business class, right? Like, especially, I just did not want to engage with this guy. I mean, he was a loudmouth who had no idea what he was talking about. Like, he's not giving the vibes of, hey, I'm really open to some discussion here. He's giving the vibes of, really look at me and let me tell you all about, like, and so he's telling me about this prosperity gospel and health and wealth. And I just finally, I had had enough. Like, I couldn't do it anymore. I could not listen to more lies and falsehoods. And so I was just like, okay, well, let's back up. Let's take a look at the apostles. How did the prosperity gospel work for the apostles? Right? And so we start having a discussion, right? And of course he gets irritated because he just wanted other people to listen to him. He didn't want to actually think about things. And so I'm, you know, just talking, right? Having a discussion. And what was interesting to me about that is, okay, he gets irritated and he goes away. But she comes up to me and she's like, I really appreciated the way that you talked about the Bible. He's like, I've never really heard anybody talk about the Bible like that. Would you teach me about the Bible like that? Why, yes, I will, right? Like that, you don't usually get Bible studies like that, guys. Most people are not like, will you have a Bible study with me and lead it, please? Like that's your 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000, right? That does not happen that way. So anyway, we did. We studied together. We studied together for about 2.5 years or so. And I got to the point where I actually asked one of my mentors, I was like, this has turned into just a weekly counseling session, okay? She isn't so concerned about the Jesus stuff as she is concerned about, you know, telling me about all of her problems and all the drama and work and yada, yada, yada. What do I do with this, right? And I bring this out because you'll run into this. There are people that just want free weekly counseling, okay? And you got to realize that we're looking for people who, with a humble and contrite spirit, want to know the truth. Okay, and so I'm telling you this to be aware of it. But the advice that I got was really stellar. Because, you know, I was pretty busy at the time. I was working a secular job full time. I was getting a lot of things going with the youth in Wauseon. I was doing a lot of other things. But I got some really good advice. He said, do you have a Bible study that you can replace that with? I said, no. He's like, keep it until it burns itself out then. It was really helpful to me because and that's not going to be the same advice for everybody. But at the time in my life, with that being my first real Bible study with a non-Christian, you know what? That Bible study was really helpful to me. That Bible study grew conviction in me. That Bible study grew experience in me. That's what I needed, right? So every time that I went to Fort Wayne to meet her, or I went to Defiance to meet her, or I went to Hicksville to meet her, okay, it's like it's communicating something to me, right? It's what I needed to be able to learn and to grow. And you know what? Eventually, it burnt itself out, right? It's like, you know, she ended up moving further away, and, you know, the free weekly counseling just wasn't quite so worth it anymore. You know, you only get so much. Well, again, walk wisely. Walk wisely. Because there's times and seasons in your life where it's like, hey, I'm looking for truth seekers, man. And I got somebody else for that time slot. So you let me know. You get serious about this Jesus stuff, you let me know. I'll be here again. But until that point, love you, let me know, right? And there's other times where it's like, you got something to replace that with? Just reruns of Law and Order? Okay, you know, go ahead and keep it going, right? And so, again, walk wisely. As you approach 2023, really, I want you to think about what it is that you want and what it is that you can control. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, if you would, with me. What are you going to be happy with at the end of 2023? To be able to say, okay, this is what I got in 2023. What will satisfy you in that in that way? Isaiah 6, and we've actually been working out of Isaiah 6 some here recently in good Bible interpretation, but I just want you to take a look at Isaiah's attitude in an off-cited scripture here and to make personal application. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And I want us to take a look at Isaiah's attitude, here am I, send me, and to make personal application that, Lord, here am I, use me. Because oftentimes the Lord has us exactly where he wants us. He's placed us in the body just as he desired. And a lot of times the responsibilities that the Lord has for us are the responsibilities that are right in front of us. The people that you know, your family, that's where a lot of our responsibility is going to lie. And so what are you going to do with that responsibility? And what will you be satisfied with at the end of 2023? I encourage you to think about that as far as process goes, not as far as results go. Because on a personal level, right, I can think, okay, I want to have 5 immersions in 2023. Okay, can I control that? Absolutely not. It's a bad goal. Okay, now would I love to immerse 5 people into Jesus Christ in 2023? Absolutely. Okay, but it's a bad goal because I can't control that. But can I control if I meet 20 new people this year? You know, if I want to have 5 immersions, I better meet a whole lot more than 20 new people. This is the statistics of it, guys. But let's use 20. Okay, you know, meet 20 new people. If I meet 20 new people, can I get conversations to go in a spiritual direction with all 20 of those? Sure. I can get a spiritual conversation. How many of those 20 might be interested? Well, 10. Out of those 10, might I be able to get a Bible study with 5 of them? Maybe. Okay. It's really, really, you should probably, instead of 20, you should make the number about 100. But we're being optimistic, okay? Okay, might I be able to get a Bible study with 5 of those? And might we be able to get to God's plan of salvation with 2 or 3 of those of the 5 that I got a Bible study with? Right? And might 1 or 2 of those get immersed into Jesus Christ? You betcha. So I can control meeting new people. And then I can learn to make sure that I'm being wise with my conversation in such a way so that we're talking about real stuff. And it's not just 20 new people that I know their names and they know my names. And okay, my name, I don't think it matters if they know my middle name or not. But my name. we can talk about real stuff. Those are the things that we can control, right? You know, it's like, okay, on a personal level, there's a lot of different examples that you can use here. But somebody in Wauseon today was talking about New Year's resolutions, and most people's New Year's resolutions, they started thinking about it about 11:59 last night, right? And so they're not really set up to do anything successfully. I guess there's a quitting day. Did you guys know this? There's actually a national quit your resolution day. It's the second Friday in January. So this January, it's January 13th. So if you decide, you know, that it was too much effort, too much time, too much money, your quitting day is January 13th. So try to hold on to your resolution until January 13th, at least. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because there's lots of you can control the process, but you can't control the result, right? And much the same way, you know, whether it's a good habit that you're starting, right, or a bad habit that you're quitting, you know, you're not going to lose any weight if I'm determined not to eat differently or change my activity level. I'm going to continue to get what I always got, right? You know, if, you know, people who try to stop smoking, right? Well, if you don't have anything to replace the cigarette with, you're not willing to go on a patch or something like that, and you take the same breaks at work that you always took before with the same group that you smoked with, how do you think it's going to work out? It's common sense. But in the same way, in our spiritual lives, what is it that we want to accomplish, and how is it that we're going to get there? Because we can't just wish it into existence any more than I can wish that my physique would change while continuing to eat the same way and have the same activity level. It doesn't change. And so we're going to have to be intentional. And yeah, we we have an understanding that the days are evil. The Lord wants us to know what we are up against. It doesn't do you any good to underestimate your opponents. However, isn't it true that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world? And so don't be naive. There's a real intelligent evil out there, and Satan hates you. However, we have overcome. It's an understanding of knowing what we are up against. So don't play down to your opponent, if you will. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's go to Psalm 127 as we begin to wrap up here. Psalm 127. Of course, the understanding of all of this is that we're working together with the Lord. It's a given. Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. What do you think the Lord wants to give to his beloved? You think that the Lord might want to give to his beloved opportunities? It's what the Lord wants to give to his beloved is not the health and wealth gospel that my college friend thought, right? But we're working together with the Lord, and we're laboring with him, and he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Once again, God doesn't stop the consequences of you walking wisely, and God doesn't stop the consequences of you walking foolishly. That's why he admonishes us to walk wisely. But understand that you're only going to be successful with the Lord, okay? And so the Lord wants you to use your creativity and your planning in your participation with him. God has you exactly where he wants you. God has us in this body locally exactly where he wants us. And he wants us to find out how it is or where it is where we can make our biggest impact, where we can meet our potential on an individual basis, and then how we can serve the body as a whole. Go to Acts chapter 13, if you would. I'm not going to give a lot of specific examples because the Lord has individually gifted you, but there are lots of things that if you want to be more involved, if you want to be more active on a congregational level, it's open and available to us. And on an individual basis, the Lord has gifted you in such a way as different from everybody else. Hey, God places the members of the body, each one of them, in, just as he desires. You are unique, and God has you meeting people that you're going to be more effective with than I am, right? And he has them in your path for a reason. And so it's incumbent upon each one of us to kind of figure that out. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Notice that David was meant for that generation, and he served the purpose of God. I want that same thing to be able to be said of me. There's doors open right where we're at. Where can you help? What can you generate? What is it that you can control? And how can you walk through the doors that the Lord opens up for you? A lot of little things that we can start with. A lot of times it's not the big expression, right? It's one of the things about marital relationships that you learn over the years. Hallmark and the jewelry selling people would like you to think it's the big expression, right? Is that what makes for a good marriage? A lot of times serving the Lord, it's not about a big expression, is it? Have you noticed that a lot of times those big expressions are for other people to see it? But there's a lot of little things that really add up to positive momentum in the kingdom, right? Positive growth in the kingdom. Learning how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds on a consistent basis. Okay. You know, there's really only two ways that the body grows. The Lord has it set up that way, and the body only grows through new people coming in, and there's a growth in numbers, and there's a growth in internal strength. Those are really the only two ways that the body grows, is through outside growth, bringing those guys inside, and making the body stronger from the inside. And those are the only two ways that things get to moving forward. And I think that if we'll be self-reflective and honest, and we'll be intentional with ourselves, I think that we can take a look and really determine, hey, here are some areas where on January 1st, 2024, if I will have done these processes, I'd be really happy with that. That I'm making those decisions by faith. I'm doing them in accordance with the will of God. But I really don't have to ask, does the Lord want more people to be saved or not? I don't have to wonder that. Lord, if it's your will, help them to come to Christ. Well, it's his will, and he sent you, right? It's the Lord's will for all of us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that on an individual basis, to live and to walk by faith today, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we going to make that happen? I encourage you to think about that and to make the most of this time, because the days are evil. I don't know. We might get another year. Let's make it a great year for King Jesus. We might get another 11 years. Let's make him a great 11 years for King Jesus. Let's make the most of today, because it's what we've got. Davey?